Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. I welcome you to Passion and Passion to Purpose on BBS Radio. I am your host, Bernadette Gabrielle, and I, again, am so excited to connect with you. I am here this evening with my amazing, wonderful partner and co-host, daughter as well, Destiny.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to this frequency of love. We're so excited to have you all connecting with us today. Got a lot of really awesome things coming up and lots of
great topics
and speakers who are going to be with us today. So we're very excited. Thank you for joining us. And
there's a lot going on. Yes, there is, globally and universally, and just a whole lot of stuff happening right now. So we're just going to jump right in.
It's a crazy shifts and changes and all kinds of things.
Right. And, you know, first shout out to all of those who have endured the crazy weather and have suffered any kind of loss through the most recent hurricane. We send our prayers, our love, and our blessings to you and our support. Yes. Which this is one of the main topics we have for tonight, is talking about, you know, the shifts that are affecting our climate. And some really major reports have come out this week, Destiny, some things that are very, let's say, earth-shattering, for a lack of a better, So we were just reading, Destiny and I, on the IPCC, and the big report that they had come out with, basically sounding the alarms to the people on the planet, going, hey, you know, we are really running out of time, and everybody kind of needs to be aware that, you know, time is running out. We have like 12 years to turn things around, or, you know, there's going to be some mass devastation. Destiny.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, all the things that have been popping up lately. Everybody's really been talking about the global warming news that we have recently uncovered, and I think it's a really big statement that so many scientists and, you know, really important people have come together and said, okay, this is not a game, this is real life, and things are really shifting. And we all need to become really aware of what we can do to help that and kind of prevent this
catastrophe.
This 12-year timeline, right? Because 12 years is like a blink
of an
away.
Eye.
It's really crazy to even think about that.
Gosh.
So to know that that much is changing and that, you
and
know.
That rapidly.
Right. So many different people have been studying, and that's, you know.
They're saying 97% of scientists who are studying climate change are in agreement that we are running out of time. And I want to touch on some things first that, like, what we can do as a collective, but also individually that will help the collective. What are some of the things that we can do to help our planet sustain?
Yeah.
What do you think, Destiny? Out of all of the things that we've read and that we've seen and that we know, what would you say would be the most important change that we could make as an individual?
You know, from my own experience, I know that a lot of the research that I've done and really feel very strongly connected to is, one thing is going vegan, I think, is a really big part of kind of helping our earth in that way and reducing the climate change and everything. So that's what I feel. I mean, I think that there are many, many benefits to having a vegan or vegetarian lifestyle, but most importantly, whenever we're not putting as much money and, you know, into the dairy farming and into the agriculture farms, I think that it's going to really be able, we're going to be able to bring something much larger as far as what money we can put into other things that are going to actually help our earth and progress in that way. Yeah. So that's one of the things. And I think that there's a speaker that I follow. Her name is Fully Raw Christina. That's her Instagram page. But she is absolutely wonderful, and she does such a good job of kind of connecting those dots as well. She just recently put out a video that I really, really liked. And she actually puts a lot of the stuff on there about what we're talking about right now as far as global warming and things like that go. So, you know, I think that pushing that kind of a lifestyle and more of the green kind of a lifestyle is a very important move that we can make, you know.
You know, I was reading earlier, real quick, not to interrupt, but that it takes something like 383,000 gallons of water to feed a cow for slaughter.
It is crazy.
383,000 gallons of water.
No, yeah, it's insane. It really is. And the amount of money and food and water that we put into livestock and farming is just crazy, crazy, crazy. You know?
And to think that if we had just even to cut back, I mean, even if people cut back and went, I think it was Christina who said, even if we cut back and we did one raw vegetable meal a day, one raw, it would significantly impact the environment.
Totally. And it's very true. And I personally, I went vegan a while ago, probably I think 4 years ago. And it's been a huge change to me on even in my body. I've noticed a lot of changes and a lot of really amazing differences in the way I feel and the way I think and my emotions and all kinds of different ways. And to know that, you know, that can do that to your body just by eating healthy and green and not having, you know, a lot of different chemicals and other beings' emotions in your food can really benefit
make a big difference.
You know, and then of course the effect that it has on the environment, to know that you yourself can reduce your carbon footprint and really make an impact. You know, I think that's the inspiring thing about it. Once, you know, you're on that track and you feel so passionate about it and you want to share that with others, it really spreads like a wildfire after that. I mean, you know, in our family, I went vegan and then I started to...
Then everybody
went vegan in our family, because it's... I think it's when you learn about really what it does to the environment and what it does to your body and, you know, also the effect that it has on these beings and these animals that are here that we are, you know, sharing this earth with. And I think it makes a big difference, kind of understand it and look at it from those angles. And once you do the research, it's
kind of like a shoe-in, right?
Well, it's, you know, for me at least, I felt kind of like obligated to make the change. So I was like, oh, okay, this is real. And, you know, and of course to see the effects in my body, and I was like, wow, a lot of people should do this.
right. Well, and now, especially since, you know, like we had previously said, the scientists have really set out the alarm. 97% of the scientists that have studied global warming are in agreement that we do need to make some major changes in order to, you know, maintain an Earth as we know it. You know, I found it very interesting, and this is just going to be a quick flyby because I don't want to sling any mud at anybody, but I found it rather comical to see how the Republican Party, how they reacted to questions along the lines of, you know, the global climate changes. And the comical part is that they are taking the 3% of the scientists that don't necessarily agree that humans are the driving force for climate change. Those are the 3% of scientists the Republic Party is choosing to back. Just kind of found that humans is 97%, but we're going to choose the 3.
But it's the 3 that counts, okay?
Anyways, so leading into the political side of things, I just want to real quick touch on our special guest coming on tonight, Travis Duncan, who is actually running for mayor of Austin, Texas, which I couldn't be more thrilled about. Travis, although he does not have a political background, he is actually standing up for the people. He has decided to take a stand, and I'm just really excited to introduce him to everybody around this world, because I really feel like this is all part of the change that we're talking about, bringing on people who are in leadership positions who actually care. Right. About
and bringing consciousness to it as well, I think is a really cool part about what Duncan has to offer.
I am in love with that idea. I mean, we're all talking about unity consciousness and awareness and making change and all of that, and yet so many of us remain in our habits. Mm-hmm. And we don't make the changes that are necessary. And to actually have somebody leave their corporate world, which I am completely familiar with, as I have done a similar thing, right. Leaving the corporate world to really embrace what we are passionate about, that is what we need to fill our leadership positions with. People who are driven by their heart, people who are driven by other people. Like, how do we help each other? How do we really create change and create a unity consciousness? Oh my goodness, how beautiful is this idea?
I absolutely agree with you. No, I think that's one thing that I really, really love about Travis and his mission is just the amount of spirituality that has in it as well. You know, it's really like the way he does it, it's a really great balance of both sides. And so I like that aspect, because I think that's what, I mean, obviously that's what we're missing in government.
Yeah.
Is
yes,
the ability
and we're not going
to
call out any names, y'all.
Right, but it's the ability to look at things as a whole and mm-hmm. to take into account a much more holistic view of
an authentic
right, and also just coming from a very positive place, which is another thing I like about it. You know, definitely not afraid to speak his truth. That was we've seen, you know, from a lot of the videos that he shares, and I like that. You know, I think that is a really refreshing thing to see, not only somebody who is truly authentic and stands in what they believe and is not afraid to speak that truth regardless of what, you know, people may think, or, you know, just the fact that he's running and he's still able to be like, okay, no, this is what I think, and it doesn't matter, you know, what's right. going on the outside. This is how,
I don't care who's going to rise up against me. I'm still going to speak what I have to speak. It's my truth.
Right, right. Yeah. And he does a good job of you know, relaying his messages in the most positive, you know, unique way.
Yeah.
That's refreshing to see.
Yeah, I particularly, real quick, loved the video where he was invited to the platform to speak about poverty, yes. and then was uninvited.
Yes, yes, I saw that as well.
And this is what we're talking about right now. Like, walking in there anyway, even though his invitation was rescinded,
right.
walked in there anyway, put his chair on the platform, and really, I mean, stood by, hey man, no, I still have something to say. You might have rescinded my invitation, but I am still running for mayor. I am still a part of this platform, and you will hear me.
Right.
I mean, how ballsy can
it be? It is awesome. And, you know, awesome. Especially because I think that we all kind of know that in some way, shape, and form, there is, there are borders put up against some people who are trying to get the positive movement going and trying to get that kind of side of things going in government. And I think that it's a lot harder for them to get the publicity that they need, mm-hmm. To get the supporters that they need, because, you know, they're working against something
they're working against money.
Right.
Those well-funded
and of course
campaigns that are following the traditional agendas.
Right, and the whole, you know, his whole thing with the earth and caring for that side of things and, you know, the more positive side of things is a threat to the system.
To
so
that's major
why
industries, yeah.
Right, so it's, I feel like
I mean, how happy are the electric companies that, you know, we have a mayor candidate who is looking to pretty much make all electricity co-op.
Right.
So that the people can actually share.
Right, right.
And not be killed with, you know, electric costs and free water. I mean, oh my goodness, isn't Pickett going to be a little upset about free water in Texas? I mean, isn't that the reason why he bought the aquifer, was so that he could tax people and charge people for water that he's putting chemicals in? I mean, it's just like one thing after another. Of course, there, he's going to have some kind of a backlash, but that's why it's so important for people like us, the everyday people, who are speaking that we need certain things. We need, you know, food to be reasonably priced, that is actually good for you, organic, good food, and, you know, demographics shouldn't matter. So, you know, free water, affordable housing, all of these things that we all are like, hey, you know, we need this to sustain. We all as a collective need to stand up and go, okay, who are the candidates running for office that actually support these ideas?
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry. My passion just kind of got away from me for a minute.
No, I'm with you. I totally am with you. No, and I was actually, I pulled up a few things that I thought was really cool, of some of the comments that were on Travis's wall and on his Facebook and his Instagram, of just the support that he's been getting. I think that's really great. There's this one woman, let me see, she says, "For the first time, I am actually excited to vote, as we have a candidate who speaks truth, embodies and voices the consciousness that is emerging, and that cares to offer radical and practical change from the current system for the benefit of all." She says, "I have known Travis for nearly a year, and his truly loving nature, authenticity, ability to listen and care for are all palpable. If you desire to believe and believe in caring for and competition, an alternative to our current plutocracy, sovereignty and dignity for all, abundance rather than fear-based, artificially induced scarcity. These are all things that he's for." So I think that's really great.
That is really great. And this is also, you know, there are more and more candidates that are rising up that feel the same way. So real quick, just kind of putting this out there to all of my amazing listeners, it is so important, in order to really enforce the change that we're looking for, to do the research, to check out who it is that's running. Do not be so focused on the color, red or blue, who cares? What we need is good, authentic people who are speaking the truth. Some things that you can look for, which I noticed in one of the forums that Destiny and I attended, a few things to look for when a candidate is speaking. Body language says a lot. When you have a candidate who is automatically in attack mode, or who sends a representative who is automatically in attack mode, they should be questioned. If a candidate is fidgety while they're speaking, it really speaks volumes about how comfortable they are with speaking what they're speaking. If they're fidgety and if they're sweating bullets, yeah, okay, there's a degree of nervousness, but really, if you're going to have a physical response to that degree, then most likely you're not speaking your own truth. You are not in alignment with what you believe. So those are just a couple of things to look out for as you do your research, because an election is up and coming, November the 6th.
Yes, I will be voting.
I will be voting too. Woot woot. And again, we are not necessarily a political show, but this is really a very important part of making change.
Our planet. This is somebody who has really taken, you know, a step out of the norm and been able to put his passion for what he believes and make it his purpose right now. And I think that that is what we're trying to do on this show. So it's really exciting to have somebody on who's really, you know, fulfilling that.
That in such a huge way.
Yeah, totally. And not being scared, you know, putting, like we've been talking about, taking out the fear-based, you know, mindset.
And following that heart.
And following the heart. Because there's nothing that we can't accomplish. There's nothing that we can't do together, you know, and there is so much in store for us whenever we come together in a place of unity and love and we uplift each other. And that is what's really important. And that's what, you know, is going to change our world. So to see people like that coming out and being so open and freely speaking their truth and their beliefs is, exactly what we need. And it just starts with that. Just the ripple effect of that is huge.
I love the ripple effect.
Yes.
I mean, it is such a powerful thing. And I think I told you about a meditation I did where I actually, Jesus was showing me the ripple effect in that vision and that lifetime. And it was quite powerful. But yeah, it is. It's a ripple effect. And once we begin to have these energies put into place that have a higher vibration than what we currently have, then again, you know, those vibrations are going to be met with equal or greater vibrations. And that is what is so inspiring about what is happening right now, where we see there is such a division levels right now. You see, you know, those people who really just want to stick to what they know. They have their security and that's where they want to stay in that vibrational level. And so, you know, it's more of a fear-based thing because they're afraid to step out and really embrace what it is that is innate to them or the divine impartations that are with them. So, and then you see the other side of things where, you know, people are beginning to break away. You see relationships coming apart. You see people leaving their jobs. You see people really making an effort to step into, you know, the bigger and better, the greater, the higher vibrations, because they're feeling the call, they're hearing the call, and they're heeding the call to do so. And, you know, again, that is what is entirely inspiring about, you know, Travis Duncan, is that, you know, you can tell he is one of those that has heard the call and he's heeding the call and he's rising to it. And by doing that, I mean, how many people is he affecting? How right. many people around him, how many people in our community is, you know, is he pulling out of the traditional mindsets and the security of living and making them
have planting to, seeds, man.
Yes.
He's planting seeds for
absolutely.
Sure. You know, and that's what it starts with. Planting seeds.
Planting seeds and then watering them.
Planting seeds and
we're just the trickles of water that are helping to water the seeds being planted right now.
Yes, yes. But that's what it's about, man. Collective consciousness coming together, you know. And then the more of us that decide to step out of that fear and into the unknown and the joy of the unknown, you know, the easier it gets. You know, I mean, it gets harder. You're wrong. It gets hard, you know, but it's you get stronger, you know. It doesn't get easier, you get stronger.
It's perspective, too. I mean, you know, yes, no matter what vibrational level you are on, you know, obstacles are going to come up. Things that are going to challenge you are going to come up. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature of things. But I believe we mentioned this in last week's show, too, you know, that how we view it, how we view whatever we have to face really dictates how we are able to navigate through it and the overall outcome. I mean, we can look at things as like, oh my God, this has happened to me and I can't believe I have to deal with this and poor woe is me. Or we can be like, oh wow, okay, here's a great opportunity to allow myself to maintain the higher vibration to go, okay, no problem. It's just a little bump in the road. Nothing I can't hop and skip over.
Right.
Figure
it's just
it out.
A checkpoint. I like to think of it as a checkpoint.
Little checkpoint.
You know, you go through the checkpoint. It's just a reminder and an opportunity for you to choose the higher timeline or to stay, you know, so.
Yes. Little checkpoints. That is a really great way to look at it. I love it. Kind of like going through, what is that, at the airport? Customs.
Yeah.
Go through customs.
You gotta make sure that you're good, man. There's this little saying I found. It goes, you are being presented with a choice. Evolve or remain. If you choose to remain unchanged, you'll be presented with the same challenges, the same routine, the same storms, the same situations, until you learn from them, until you love yourself enough to say no more, until you choose change. If you choose to evolve, you will connect with the strength within you. You will explore what lies outside the comfort zone. You will awaken to love. You will become, you will be. You have everything you need. Choose to evolve. Choose love. That was Craig Crippen that said that, and I just love it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. That's where we're at right now. We are being presented with a choice, man. Just evolve or remain.
That's right. And just like with our climate change, the way it is right now, we either can take some action, evolve and change, or not. And then we get to deal with the consequences. So, you know, they're saying in that report also that
pretty much we can experience what we're going to experience as far as our weather is concerned is category 4s and 5s on the regular is going to become more of a regular thing. I just got word that we have Mr. Duncan online. Mr. Duncan, welcome to our show. Are you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much.
We are so excited to have you on tonight. We have been just really very inspired by, you know, you and your message and your purpose. And it's the greatest part of what we do is we love to bring on people who are really living their purpose through their passion. And we are just elated that you agreed to be on tonight. So to get right to it.
Yes, welcome. We love your energy. We're so happy to have you on. We appreciate everything you're doing and what you stand for. So kudos to you, man. Kudos to you.
Can you tell us a little bit about what made you decide to step out of corporate and into politics?
Well, yeah, actually, and I'm not so sure I stepped directly out of corporate. I know I was working at Tesla just briefly to get an inside glimpse of what's going on in the solar industry because I'm very concerned about being harmonious with the planet, and I thought that the renewable energy industry was a good place to learn about that and learn a lot of amazing things. But I'll just jump into that question there. You know, frankly, I just didn't see anybody else having the type of dialogue and bringing up the type of things that I think are really important for us to consider as human beings, especially in a political context. So what inspired me to run was to hopefully catalyze an overcoming of this fear paradigm around politics, so that more conscious, heart-centered, you know, earth-resonant type of people will run for politics all over the world, really, and see this more cooperative way, so that the corporations and the government and everything can stop infringing upon people's abilities to transform their lives in a harmonious, earth-resonant way.
I love that, and I would love to believe that you are going to be like the main domino, you know, once you get up there and you're in your position, you know, that the domino effect just totally take place and we begin to fill all of the seats in our leadership, you know, with people who are conscious and aware and for the people. I mean, it's really, we've been crying for change for a really long time, and it's just, it's so nice to be able to hear and witness, you know, individuals stepping up and taking a position that is really against the traditional grain. And that to me is, I mean, it's thrilling. I'm so excited to see what is coming.
Right, and being able to embrace that with love and the positive outlook is a really great thing.
And fearlessly.
Yeah. And fearlessly.
Our fearless mayoral leader.
Yeah, it definitely did take a lot of overcoming of the personal fears that I think many people deal with in this society. You know, that really classic one of, are people going to accept me, you know, is this going to be something that people embrace or reject, or, you know, all the judgment and all that stuff that comes up whenever you're about to put yourself out there, which I'm sure y'all know about, you know, having this platform, which, by the way, I'm so grateful to be on here. Thank you so much. And I think that part was easy for me in a sense because I'm representing ideas and concepts that I didn't invent. You know, this is stuff that we've known for likely thousands of years. And
right.
I think it's just time for a shift. And I know that we are all feeling that in some way, shape, or form. And I just felt called as my mission to burst the bubble from the inside, you know?
We really do know. And totally. We actually very much concur because, you know, it is now. I think previously on the show we were talking about how, you know, the shift is inevitable. It's happening. And, you know, some of us are hear the call and are heeding the call and stepping out and doing something about it. And others are not. And it's just individuals, you know, like you and like us that are like, okay, you know what? Enough of what we know. It's about time that we actually embrace the truth.
And implement it and integrate it into our lives, you know, and really fully embrace that side of things. I think that's a very important part, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, it is great. You know, and to hear some of the things that you're going for and some of the things that you're trying to bring to the table as far as environmental things and things like that and organic food and electricity.
Free water.
I think those are really, really great things to be able to share because I think that all those things should be free anyway. You know, we should all work as a collective to, you know, make that possible. So I think that that's a really interesting perspective to bring to the table as well.
I have a question for you, Travis.
Please.
As far as, you know, healthy food, you know, organic food should be a right to all of the people, regardless of the demographic. How do you see yourself bringing more affordable organic foods to all of the people? How do you see that happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think I'll first touch on that. Really, I think it's important if we look at government's role, typically how it's described as the primary function is to protect the people. And, you know, protect kind of the overarching freedoms that every individual can enjoy. And I think we've become bamboozled or confused, or maybe we just never really grasped that concept on a bigger level, how when there are pesticides and GMOs and all of these toxic, kind of environmentally toxic aspects going into the soil, into the water supply, and ultimately in our food and in our bodies, that's a violation of sovereignty on a big level. And so it goes beyond the idea of individual consumer choice. Oftentimes, when we hear, especially like in the mainstream media, we hear about, oh, here's ways that you can affect, you know, climate resilience and all these things. And it always talks about your purchasing choices. And I think that just neglect to realize that on a big level, the corporations that are spraying all these toxins into the soil and the waters, they are essentially violating people's right to have access to a clean earth. And so from a governmental perspective, you know, I'm very much not a fan of centralized mandates and forcing people to do things. However, I think it's our duty to stand up for people and say, listen, like, these things are really toxic, and how is this affecting entire generations of children that are in the schools? And they don't know, they're not aware of what these toxins are doing. And so I just think it's important to protect people first and then work on ways to increase our local food supply as much as possible. And I'm a very big proponent of the Ubuntu contributionism method, which and almost just kind of broader, the Ubuntu consciousness, which essentially you know, Ubuntu means I am who I am because of who you are. So you can kind of translate that to, you know, if one of us is on the street, we're all on the street. Or, you know, I don't have to know you or like you or agree with you to just know that you deserve clean food and water and abundance, you know, and access to the earth. It's this thing that we all want each other to have the best, because that makes the whole much more thriving. So in order to do that, I think we use the current model, which is economic incentive, and we incentivize the people to work together. So in exchange for volunteering just 3 hours a week on any community project, of which the first will be the organic farms in the neighborhood, so volunteering just 3 hours a week on an organic farm gets you immediately free electricity at your house just for providing that community-wide benefit. And then when the harvest comes, you start to get free fruit from the garden, and the rest can be sold at a much lower cost at the farmer's market. So the people who don't necessarily want to volunteer, they're also getting a benefit by just having that abundance of locally grown produce at their, you know, at their local farmer's market. And then over time, I think that the ultimate goal is to just decommodify food as much as possible. Just eliminate the aspect of paying for it and just focus it on as like a cultural imperative in our society that we just make sure everybody has high nutrition.
That seems almost the least we can do, right, for the people,
right,
for all of us. Yeah.
Right. I love that. Definitely, when we are one person is affected, we're all affected. So putting that, I like that idea. Very cool. It's kind of like CSR, like, you know, farm work for, you know, goods. I think that's a really great idea.
Right.
Love that.
Destiny and I were just talking about actually doing that. So we're really excited to get started on that ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
Please. Yeah.
Yes. What else? Oh, so we were going to also ask you, so what do you think that, you know, some of the biggest changes that you would be making, some of the things that you're most excited about to be able to bring to the table, what are some of those things that you would like to share with everybody?
Well, you know, I think it's important to recognize that passing laws and passing ordinances can sometimes take time and be messy, and you know, the mayor is not what you would call a strong mayor system. It's a mayor council system, and there's a city manager that's kind of the CEO of the city. So in Austin, it's kind of a unique scenario in that way. So what I can do as we're working to pass the policies for the renewable energy and the earth resonant development, you know, mandates and things. What we can do immediately without passing any ordinances or laws is we can show up and we can listen. And so that's why the first 100 days after we're inaugurated, we're going to do town halls in every neighborhood of the city. And as long as we can, you know, 12 hours a day, just kind of an open house, open format for people to come at their economic availability because that's the thing, is that civic engagement requires economic availability to do so. And so we want to open that up as much as possible. So every day for the first 100 days, I'm just out there listening to people and listening to them share their pain and their trauma and what we have neglected. And you're just hearing all of that and holding space for that without judgment or, you know, resentment or anger. It's just, listen, just express your truth in its purest form, and then we have the policy people with us in those meetings, the land development people and the code enforcement and the aquatics division and, you know, all of these different areas of policymaking are there listening to people, and we're generating the policy directly from the people. And so I think this will accomplish so much in terms of just trust that people will start to regain in the system, and just really just going out there and showing that, you know, the mayor the mayor's job, essentially, in Austin, the way it's set up, is it's a ceremonial seat. So they're kind of the representative of the direction that the council is moving, and is supposed to represent the culture of the city. And I think when you have a mayor that is very partisan, you know, picking political parties and unavailable for listening, just very inaccessible, it creates this very palpable distrust in the system and distrust in government. And so I think it's important that as we're building the new systems, we make sure that we're thinking in a cooperative way and everyone's involved. You know, I want everybody's voice to matter for real, you know, actually.
Right. Total transparency.
I love it.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing, is live streaming every meeting. So nobody can have a private closed door meeting with the mayor anymore. And basically everything that anyone says to the mayor and that the mayor says is all out there. So, and I would encourage that through every department of the city, because there's 17,000 people that work at the city of Austin. And how amazing would it be if you could tune in and live stream in any department in the entire city? So you might just be interested in that and want to hear what their meetings are like. And it goes back to something you said earlier about integrating that, just integrating this transition. And it makes me think of how a lot more people are becoming more telepathic, and they're able
right.
to tap into that collective consciousness much easier. Or maybe we just know about it more and it's more open. But it got me thinking about just being of such a level of integrity where I would be okay with everybody knowing what I'm thinking at all times. Not only what I'm saying and what I'm doing, but what I'm thinking. And when, you know, how, if everyone could hear your thoughts, how would that change the way you think? Maybe, you know, maybe it would force you into more of a self-loving pattern. So that's one thing I've been thinking about a lot.
I love it. But could you imagine?
I completely agree with you for sure.
Could you imagine how many politicians would be hiding under their desk if that was actually
wow.
if they had to live stream everything that they were speaking and every conversation or meeting that they had? I mean, like, literally, it would send the politician to.
But that's the great thing about it. It would force a change.
It would really, because
what is more open and upfront whenever you have somebody who's willing to literally, you know, have everything out on the table, you know? And I think that's something really special where you're like, I have enough dignity, enough integrity, enough love, respect, and care for people and for myself that I'm willing to openly discuss these things so that everybody can be a part of it. And like you said, Travis, you know, it's definitely, things are shifting very, very quickly, and a lot of people are starting to break out of the fear and also integrate their gifts and, you know, being able to tap into the collective consciousness and, you know, use your telepathy and use, you know, psychic abilities and clairaudience and all of these things. A lot of people are starting to see these things happening in government and seeing other things happen just in general, where we're like, okay, yes, this is something that is calling to everybody right now. And I think that even though people are on their own timeline and really, you know, getting to the same place just in their own unique, different, special way at the most divine timing, it's inspiring and really great to see how it's all coming together and how we all are tapping into that knowledge and remembering who we are and where we come from and how to love each other on that. In that way. So that's really, really cool.
I also want to just kind of point out, how many politicians have you ever heard talk about holding the space? So
right.
Travis, I love that. I mean, holding the space. When they say that typically in politics, they're talking about, you know, holding the microphone and their platform and their podium, not holding the space of consciousness like you're talking about. So
right, and a space of love and acceptance and, you know, I think that's Wonderful.
So I have another question for you. You ready?
Well, I'll just jump in just real quick. Is, you know, for the people who are really focused on analytical, kind of left brain thinking, it's important to recognize like two aspects of our physiology: the 40,000 sensory neurites in our heart that have an independent intelligence that is actually more primary source, and also has predictive abilities, and then also the mirror neurons in the brain actually can help us. That's kind of our empathetic connection to each other. That's why you feel pain when you see a video of somebody falling off their bike. You feel it because we have that ability to empathize. And so, you know, a lot of what we're talking about is grounded in peer-reviewed science that is published, well-vetted science. And so I think it's just, you know, key to bring that in, because a lot of people, especially in the political sphere, are very skeptical of anything that broaches the topic of healing and spirit and, you know, higher right. consciousness. It's almost like it hasn't caught up into their lexicon or field of understanding. And so I think the more we point out that grounded science, it's helpful for a lot of folks.
Absolutely. And that's something that we were just recently talking about, is the amount of science that's coming out that is really, really great for the collective, because it is putting out there in so many ways that these things have been tested. They've been proved. Like, there's so much that's coming out that is full on proof of these amazing things. And I think it's really, really cool to see all the science coming behind the spiritual side of things, you know, and tying the two together.
Science and the metaphysics of it.
Right. And, yeah. you know, just the quantum aspect of things.
It really is quite impressive. Destiny and I spend quite some time on the science. What is that?
Oh, you mean the spirit science.
The spirit science. Because of how they break it down, and they actually... really unite the science side with the metaphysics side, and it decodes it for the people who are more, like you mentioned, the left brain side, and really haven't allowed themselves to teeter over. It really does kind of give them that life vest, or that rope.
Yeah, and there's so many people who have little series and things like that, like David Wilcock. I love David Wilcock. He's amazing. He's on Gaia MTV, and like, it's just connecting, making a bridge between the spiritual and the scientific, the scientific.
The science
and it's
of it.
Very
pretty soon, most everybody will not be able to deny, and they will have to have had some kind of enlightenment.
Well, yeah, I mean, divine timing is a very real thing. So
it is, but it takes people like Mr. Duncan here.
Yes. Hey,
to make some serious
it takes one to plant some serious seeds, man. Right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, because we're on radio right now, and I was just reminded of how a lot of this awareness catalyzed for me is I flipped on the radio, and Pacifica Radio was on, and I was listening to Lisa Gar's The Aware Show. And she had Bruce Lipton on as a guest, and it just was so mind-blowing for me, but it also made so much sense, and it was just more confirmation of what I had intuitively known for a long time. And so radio is so powerful, because you never know who's just going to flip it on, and their whole life is going to change.
Exactly. It's just when you resonate with something, you hear something and you really resonate with it, or you watch something and you resonate with it, it's life-changing, literally life-altering. You are a completely different person than before you were listening to it, you know? So it's amazing how fast things can change, and how we're all changing so rapidly, and it's...
And how, as we take our place, you know, we become more instrumental to those around us. And I think that that's a huge part of the overall message is that, you know, as we all rise up and we all, you know, heed that call and we all take our position wherever it is, because, you know, no two of us are alike and all of us have a specific purpose. And if we all just step into that purpose and we begin to outstretch our hand to the next person and we lift each other up, I mean, how much more of a beautiful environment of a planet would we be living on if we all just outstretched our hand to our neighbor and did what we could to help and assist and you know, their evolution.
Right. And especially loving ourselves enough to, you know,
to take that,
to spread that love, right? Because that's what it is. Self-love is all love.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Duncan, one more quick question, then we're going to have to go. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were as far as the cannabis, the marijuana situation. Our jails are being flooded by individuals who have been caught with a minimal amount of marijuana and are being held in captivity and then fined up the yazoo over something that many states have already legalized. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that, because actually the prohibition on plant medicine is unconstitutional. So, aside from all the moral issues with it and just kind of the spiritual implications of that, that wedge that has been driven between, you know, beings of Earth and Earth is... you know, it's illegal for them to ban this. And I want to point out that the Ninth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is something called rights unenumerated, which essentially can be interpreted as the people will have rights that the people need to know about when they need to know about those rights that they don't know about yet. And so it's really kind of a way of saying that we have the right to do anything, as long as we're not violating anybody else's right to do anything. And it goes back to that fundamental universal law, golden principle. And I think it's actually a legal basis for us to set the precedent to liberate all of our sisters and brothers who have been locked up and, you know, crushed by the so-called justice system. And also... to open up a whole new realm in terms of mushrooms and ayahuasca and iboga and all of these types of treatments that have been used for thousands of years that can do wondrous things. And there's organizations like MAPS and others who are helping to provide that peer-reviewed data to different governmental bodies. And I mean, today I think we saw in Canada legalized. I think there's also a really clear distinction, because sometimes I get a little bit worried that the legalization crowd has become so beat down by the state's resistance that they've got on to this idea that we need, the argument is that it needs to be taxed and we can get tax revenue and it's great for business and all these things. And it's actually leaving time for the big pharma companies to come in and try to grab up patents and control it. And it's also actually just against the whole point, which is that people should be free to use it in any way that they need to. And, you know, there's obviously consequences if somebody, violates somebody else's freedom, liberty, sovereignty, while using these plants in whatever way that could manifest. But also, you know, it's just really at the core of it, it should be free. And the reason, one example of this is in Colorado, they have a limit of the plants you can grow. And some people's illnesses or conditions or whatever they use it for requires them to have much more than the limit. And so, you know, because they cook it down and use it for different methods. So I just think the ultimate goal is really full freedom, full liberation, so that, that people can restore that and heal that, that wounded relationship with plants.
I absolutely agree. Woohoo! Travis, we are out of time, but I want to tell you thank you so much for being on with us tonight. We really look forward to your candidacy and to winning the election that is up and coming. So everybody who's listening in the Austin area, we are all for Travis Duncan. So, Mr. Duncan, thank you. We do look forward to having you on again. Have a wonderful evening. And again, thank you so much.
Thank you. And our website is wearethemayor.com.
Shout out.
Thank you.
wearethemayor.com. Definitely, we'll repost that on all of our social medias as well. And we are so happy and thankful to have you all listening, connecting with us, and Travis, you as well. Thank you so much for your connection and your love. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Real quick before we close, I just want to give a shout out to Cameron Daxter, who does a Friday night show, 10 o'clock Central Time. 7 o'clock Pacific. I'm sorry, 8 o'clock Pacific. So if you haven't listened to Cameron Sports and Life, we do support his show. We love him very much and we thank him for everything. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, listeners. We love you. Under the covering of universal love and support, we say good night.
Yes, thank you. Have an amazing, amazing rest of your evening.